It's time for Dayton Women's Flyers Basketball on Information Radio 1660. We thank Archer's Tavern for their support in bringing this game to you today. Now down to the arena with Barney Centner and Dennis Shaw.
It's time for the Archer's Tavern pregame with Barney Centner and Dennis Shaw. Now let's get down to the arena for today's pregame show.
And live from UT Arena, another key game in the A-10 for women's basketball between Dayton and the George Mason Patriots. Dennis Shaw is actually not with us today. He's working. I guess work does intrude on life sometime. Oliver Nitz will join me shortly. The big news in this game is that one of the top players on George Mason is out today. That would be Kennedy Harris. She is a 5'7 sophomore. She averages 15.4 points a game with an impressive assist to turnover ratio of 56 to 21. 6 minutes into the George Mason game at St. Louis on Wednesday, she slipped and left the court. We're told she has a lower body injury. She is here. She has a walking boot on, but she's also day-to-day, and we hope that she can return in their next game, which is at home Wednesday against VCU. So we address that. We're going to go to our pregame interview with Tamika Williams-Jetter. We'll recap the game against Loyola on Wednesday, a game that Dayton won close, and then we'll address the situation without Harris for George Mason. So let's go to that interview right now. Tamika Williams-Jetter joins us, and we're going to basically regurgitate the Loyola game. Mm-hmm. So you can tell that your team has really improved, because you're going to tell me it wasn't your A game. You went to Loyola, but you still won it. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But give me your impressions of winning a tough game like that, as you did.
I think it's always good. You never want to, of course, we wanted to blow them out, you know, but you never, it's hard to blow out a team, any team in this conference, the way we did with them coming here. So we expected them to give us a good run. Where I think we really swayed in a different direction was our turnovers were pretty high, and defensively we just couldn't get stops. And usually we can rally a couple stops in a row and score it at a very high level. But you also know going on a road in any capacity in this conference is going to be a battle. And I think they gave us a good run for the money. I never felt like we were going to lose the game, which was good. I think our players have been in that situation, and that was my last time out going into the fourth. We've been in this space. They haven't. Where we're battling, we know how to pull out games. And one thing that we've tried to grow on, we were about 66% from the free throw line 2 weeks ago. And in the conference, in conference play, is getting that up to like in the 70s. So we've made a conscious effort of putting pressure, and I think our free throws were good. Now, Ricky Harris was sick. She hadn't practiced in a couple days, hadn't really been around the team, and thanks to a phenomenal administration, Angie Petrovich, I'm just happy she got her there on game day because she felt a lot better. She couldn't really go because she had a temperature the day before, slight temperature, was feeling better, but was not going to come. And definitely somebody we needed to play and to pull out that win.
23 minutes, and she and Ivy each both hit a couple of free throws at the end. Yep. To make the difference.
Yep.
I thought the way you came out was basically we're going to feed it inside to Ariana Smith, and mm-hmm. she might score 40 the way it was going.
Yep.
Unfortunately, picking up her third foul, it seemed like that kind of changed the tempo of the game for you.
Yeah, big time, I think. And that's something she's done probably the last two games, and we've been cognizant on calling her some ticky-tack fouls just to get in her head. When she's in the game, there's a huge difference for us from a scoring standpoint, a rebounding standpoint, and a toughness. You know, she gives us some versatility because she can also defend 1 through 5. So Donnie cannot get in foul trouble because it puts a lot of pressure on us to perform. I mean, Molly has played some great minutes. I think Evil started to get some minutes here. Shannon has to play a lot of minutes. So it just puts a lot of pressure on other people to perform, and she needs to stay on the court, especially, you know, not get her second foul till late in the second or early in the third.
Okay, so I've already mentioned, as the broadcast has started, that Harris will not play today.
Mm-hmm.
How does that change now? Basically, when you watch George Mason, they're tough to defend because it's Walton Harris, and you can't shut them both down. But now, I guess it's more of clamp down on Walton, right?
Yeah. We had a game plan going in for her. You know, you really want to throw a lot of bodies and close off a lot of open gaps that she may see when she penetrates. She likes to score more, of course, inside the three-point line, pull-ups, getting to the rim, just very athletic, extremely versatile, and can finish both ways, right or left. We really want to attack her on the offensive end. She's a kid that at times will give up, you know, runs in tonight. She can't get in foul trouble, so we definitely want to look to attack her a little bit more. Harris is a kid who can really get going. You know, she's a three-level scorer. She can score from three-point line, pull-up is probably her best space, and then she can also get to the rim. She's super jerky, super fast, and a big part of who they are. Losing one of them, of course, will put more pressure on Walton, but they have very capable scorers on this team. Habib is great from the three-point line, 3-and-D type kid. They bring a kid off the bench who can shoot the three ball well, two of them, and they're tough, you know, and they've had players who've played in postseason and been a part of a rebuild there. So I think it's still going to be a battle. It's not that we can slack off. This is a must-win to stay at the top of our conference.
They don't beat themselves.
No. Nope.
11 turnovers a game, and
nope.
A lot of that is a player I love, a senior in Suarez. Give me your impressions of her.
I love Suarez. I mean, she's a big point guard. I think that's who will step up in the game, and I think she's very capable. Doesn't shoot a lot of threes, but shoots a high percentage, but great at the mid-range, great driving the ball, and great just controlling the team. And I think that's who will try to step up tonight. I love the kid. Does a phenomenal job in transition. And a lot of their turnovers are low because they run a lot of ISO for Walton and Harris. And, you know, so they get shots up. Not a heavy assist team outside of Suarez, but a very high-octane one-on-one team. And one of those pistols are out. So hopefully we can put enough pressure on them to pull out the win.
Finally, I feel bad for Ajak. There's so much potential in there. She missed games earlier in the year, and she's injured again. What do you think her status is?
I think she'll be good. I mean, she's pretty day-to-day. She's, working back from a little bit of everything right now. But I think she's getting better and better every day. Swelling's going down. She's moving. She'll be I think the bye week will really do her some good.
I was going to ask you, do you like the bye week now? Like, for example, when I looked at George Mason's schedule, they have the bye week. They basically end before every other team. So they're going to get extra time before the tournament. But do you like the bye week now?
I like the bye week
today?
Now. Yeah, we got some kids that are, you know, sore, banged up, a lot of miles on their body. I would rather have it now. I think going into tournament, you need to be thumping. I like to play a game, have a couple days off, and do your work so you're not playing on the first day, and really gain some momentum going there. But I like the games because it keeps you in game shape, keeps you game sharp. Sometimes taking that time off before you got to go play games, and this is a team that should be at the top of the conference, right? You start to take a week off before you got to go play the most important games of the season.
All right, we go back to courtside.
Thank you.
All right, so interesting attire for the George Mason Patriots. I think you would probably say black trimmed in red, and the names on the jerseys. Now, fortunately, I'm familiar with them because if I had to go by the names on the jerseys, I'm not sure how well that would work out. But again, the Flyers do come off the 67-64 win at Loyola on Wednesday, a game in which UD comfortably led 32-19. But by only 7 at the half, UD didn't start the third quarter very well. They only had 2 points in the first 6 minutes. And to Loyola's credit, they did hit 9 of 12 shots in the fourth quarter. As for George Mason, again, we talked about the Harris injury already. They went to St. Louis and still disposed of the Billikens comfortably. 40-20, they led at half. En route to an 80-53 victory. Walton led them with a great game, 30 points, 11 of 17 from the field, only 9 turnovers for George Mason in that game. And again, they come in today 18-3. Good non-conference wins. They defeated Wake Forest and Georgetown. In non-conference, they also lost by 10 points to nationally ranked Maryland. In conference, they've lost to Richmond by 2, which was just a tremendous game overall, back and forth. The game that Maggie Dugan of Richmond scored 37, including the game winner on a putback. They lost to St. Joseph's by 6. Now in conference, this is impressive. They beat George Washington by 32, St. Bonaventure by 20, Rhode Island by 6, Loyola by 30, LaSalle by 17, Davidson by 8. They beat George Washington 91-50. Now, that's a game in which they trailed by 5 at the half, so they're very explosive. The coach is Vanessa Blair Lewis. 13-year head coach of Bethune-Cookman, 1,488 career points playing at Mount St. Mary's, fourth year at George Mason. Win total has improved every year. Might be a challenge to improve on last year's win total, even though they could be on pace to do so. Last year went 23-8, 14-4 in the conference. All-time series, the Flyers still dominating from past success, up 10-4 in the all-time series. Last year, though, it was all George Mason, 78-53, in a game in which the Flyers were down 36-19 at halftime. So we're celebrating Black History Month. This is the Black History Month game. We're getting ready for our national anthem with Larry Zittel or Zittel, not sure which. So we are going to pause. Then we will get you the starting lineups and the play-by-play for this George Mason team coming in at 18-3 against a Flyer team that comes in at 13-8. And there is a former Flyer who is on the George Mason coaching staff. We will be mentioning that, but right now we're going to pause and get ready for our national anthem.
Centner. Let's head down to the arena for the play-by-play with Barney in Color with Dennis Shaw.
All right, so if we have anybody who has stumbled upon our broadcast from the George Mason area, definitely welcome. We are not overly Homer-type people, so we will call the game fairly. Our officials for today still have that. I want to tell you who they are. And here they are. Fatu Sissoko, Colleen Thompson, and Caitlin Tortoris. So that takes care of that. I mentioned a former Flyer is on the staff with Vanessa Blair-Lewis, and that would be Brittany Ward. She is Assistant Director of Player Development and Director of Recruiting, second year in this role, previously started on the coaching staff at George Mason as a grad student. She still does coach the post players, played at UD from 2016 to 2020, earned her bachelor's in communications, got to play in three NCAA tournaments and three regular season A-10 titles, and had two tourney titles. So congratulations to Brittany Ward. Always a pleasure to speak with. All right, for the Patriots, they score 75 a game and give up 56 per contest. They rebound their opponents by three, and it's an impressive assist-to-turnover ratio, one of the reasons for their success. 14 assists, 11 turnovers. And they're going to come out with these five. Zariah Walton is the one to watch today with Harris out, a 5'11 junior. She averages 14.5 points per game. Kent Lake High School, Seattle, Washington. She's come a long way. Replacing Harris in the starting lineup is Jada Brown, a 5'6 junior. She averages 4 points per game. New Hope Academy out of Falls Church, Virginia. Paula Suarez, you heard us mention her on the pregame interview, a 6-foot senior. She averages 10.2 points per game, but in A-10 play, she averages 13.2 points per game with an impressive 89 assists to 36 turnover ratio. Suarez out of Spain, Pamplona, Spain, to be specific. And then you've got Taviana Habib. She is a 5'11 grad student. She averages 7.3 points per game. Armwood High School, Tampa, Florida. And Nalani Keisha. She is a 6'2 grad student, averages 8 points a game and 9 rebounds per contest. Nalani is from Sidwell Friends High School out of Washington, D.C. So again, for the Patriots, with Harris out of the lineup today, it's Walton, Brown, Suarez, Habib, and Keisha. For the Dayton Flyers, as they get ready to introduce them, 13-8 record, averaging 67 a game, giving up 63. Also out rebounding the opponents by an average of 3 per contest. The assist to turnover ratio, not as good as the Mason team. 14 assists, just like Mason, but not committing an average of 11 turnovers a game, committing 18. So we'll watch that number today. And again, the Jock Madal is out today. Ricky Harris is 100% after battling a bug of some sort that had her limited and not start at Loyola on Wednesday, but still coming off the bench, playing 23 important minutes and hitting a couple of clutch free throws. But it is Ariana Smith. She is getting the start, 12.3 points per game, 9.5 rebounds. As for Ariana Smith, 6'2 senior, Afrocentric High School out of Columbus. And again, mentioned Ricky Harris, averaging 7 points a game, grad student out of Ohio State. Ivy Wolf out of Minster, averaging 17.2 points per game, 5'8 senior. Jada Johnson getting the start today, averaging 2.3 points per game, 6'1 sophomore out of Camden Hall, County Day. She hails from West Haven, Connecticut, the transfer from Boston College. And Nicole Stevens, the transfer from Columbia University, averaging 6.4 points per game, 65 assists to only 48. Turnovers, the best assist-to-turnover ratio on the team. Stevens, Pickering Central, is the high school she went to out of Pickerington in the Columbus area. And we do have an interview with Ajat Madal at halftime. Please stay for that if you can. She will talk about the injury and why she is basically out of the lineup. All right. Getting ready to get underway with this game. I mentioned the absence of Harris, which is obviously something that cannot be mentioned enough. Harris, again, is a sophomore, and she was our rookie team last year. She was 4-time rookie of the week. She only averaged 9.5 points a game last year, and she's up that to 15.5 points a game this year. She shot 39% from the three-point stripe last year, and she had a career game against the Flyers last year. 27 points, 9-15 from the field. High school, she averaged 31 a game, and it might be one of the last times that we mention Kennedy Harris today. Again, if you're just joining us, she injured herself, lower body injury, 6 minutes into the game at St. Louis. She is in a walking boot. She is day-to-day. So we certainly hope for a quick recovery for Kennedy Harris and that she can be back playing as Wednesday night George Mason returns home to take on VCU. All right. Oliver, I feel like we're in the club.
I know.
Listening to this.
Very loud in here.
I've been to 22 years. I ask them every year to turn it down. I think every year when I ask them to turn it down, they turn it up.
Yeah.
All right. We are underway. Keisha and Ariana Smith have the tip, and the tip is won by the Patriots. And Suarez immediately takes a shot inside the three-point stripe and swishes it. Jada Johnson's going to have to come out on her, play her a little closer. So does not take the Patriots long to take the lead. Flyers are in powder blue uniforms today on Black History Month honored. trimmed in white and red. Dayton looks to tie or take the lead as Nicole Stevens out to Ivy Wolf, 10 to shoot. Wolf is guarded by Brown. Stevens the three, left wing, got it! The Flyers take the lead as Nicole Stevens averages 6.5 on the year, but averages about 9 in a 10 play. So she, like Suarez on the other side, has upped her game in terms of the conference. Now with Dayton up 3-2 a minute in, see what Mason does here on offense. It's another three on Ivy Wolf. This time Suarez swishes it. So we knew Suarez was going to have to do more today, and she already has, as she's done so with all 5 Patriot points. Crisp start to this game as Jada Johnson with the basketball. One dribble right of the lane. Driving is Ricky Harris. Has Habib on her. Now Nicole Stevens. She will drive the paint. Stevens is cut off effectively by Suarez. Forces it up off glass. Can't get it to go. And a long rebound by Kasia of George Mason. Quickly up court to Walton. Walton tries to take Johnson, but it's a bounce pass inside. And the shot is overshot entirely by Kasia. Hit the backboard, but no rim. Dayton the other way of us. And it's Stevens out between the circles to Harris. Back over to Stevens. Bounce pass inside for Ariana Smith. It's on the ground, and it's a tie-up. And on the alternating possession, Dayton will get to keep the basketball. 8:11 to go. First quarter, George Mason, namely Suarez, up over Dayton, 5-3. Oliver, I'm going to ask you to do a little troubleshooting on this and see if you can get our stat monitor to do something that it's not doing anything now.
Let's see.
Here's a bad pass as Ivy Wolf tries to hit Johnson in the left corner, but overshot her, and that is a Flyer turnover 2 minutes into the contest. So Suarez will bring it down. Suarez last year led the team 96 assists, averaged 7 points a game, shot an impressive 45% from the 3-point stripe. So she has all the points. And right now the ball's into the corner. It's Habib. She takes the three and nails it. Habib is a 40% shooter from three. And George Mason, despite no Harris, has come out smoking, leading the game 8-3, 2.5 minutes in. Harris outside the 3-point stripe, out to Ivy Wolf in front of the George Mason bench. Ivy drives left baseline. It's a cross-court pass. The ball's quickly ripped around. And it's Jada Johnson trying to get inside for Ariana Smith. It's a bad pass. It's over her head. It's a turnover in transition. It is a basket for Habib, and she has 5 just like Suarez, and there's a Dayton foul, and Shannon Wheeler is going to come in for the Flyers so they don't get run out of their own building right into this game. And Johnson is out. Shannon Wheeler, of course, the senior out of Detroit, has had good minutes, especially in conference play. She averages 4 points a game. And Habib goes to the line where she is at 77% on the year. The team overall 72, and Habib nails it. And this is the start that the Flyers did not want. Dig themselves an early hole. Down 11-3. And now it's Ariana Smith and Ricky Harris. Harris outside the 3-point stripe. Now takes a 15-footer, and it's off the mark. And Habib has excellent rebound position. She screened out Smith. Jada Brown touches the ball for one of the first times today. George Mason has hit 4 of its first 5 shots in this game, vaulting them to an 11-3 lead. Suarez played by Ivy Wolf with 10 on the shot. Now they come out and double-team in a straitjacket Suarez, but the ball's batted around, 6 to shoot. Suarez maintains her composure and drives on Ivy Wolf, and they're going to get a Dayton foul. That's going to be on Ivy Wolf and her first, and that's going to give George Mason another 20 seconds to shoot.
And if you're George Mason, I feel like this is exactly the start you're hoping for, especially with Kennedy Harris not playing today for them. They've had a great offensive start.
Here is a quick three that is missed from the right side, but the long rebound, Habib. Turn around, she can't hit it. Dayton catches a break on giving up 2 shots. Ariana Smith rebound. Stevens, front court. Stevens takes Suarez one-on-one, slips, but gets the ball to Shannon Wheeler. Cross-court pass is intercepted, knocked out of bounds by Brown. Dayton 18 to shoot. 6:20 to go first quarter. Patriots up 12, make it 11-3. Doesn't need to be any worse than it is. Ivy Wolf to throw it in. Stevens has a 3-pointer. And good job on Ivy so far. I'm going to have to watch who's shading her. It's actually Brown. Ivy does not have a shot in this game. Stevens had the pass batted away. Now Nicole's on her dribble. Between the circles, it's Wheeler. Shannon will drive with six. Open lane and can't hit the basket. But it's back tapped by Stevens. Here's the three. Harris, and it's way off the mark on the left side. That's a brick. And George Mason maintains their eight-point lead with Walton driving. Walton has not even scored in this game. And I think we have an offensive foul on Walton. That's her first. I mean, the thing about this 11-3 lead, Suarez 5 points, Habib 6. So great balance. Nyolair comes into the game for the first time for the Flyers. She averages 4 points a game. The criminal justice major, junior. Dayton hasn't scored in 3.5 minutes. And it shows. The scoreboard has 11-3 Patriots. Nyolair between the circles. It's Wheeler now. Here's a pass underneath for Ariana Smith. She takes her defender, backs her off, and scores a two-pointer inside. Strength and positioning. Ariana Smith makes it 11-5 game. Suarez is played by Nyolair, who's played excellent defense in her bench role this season. Now a little push off for Suarez, and they're going to say Nyolair got the foul. She didn't do anything. 5:26 to go, first period. Suarez will throw it in. Dayton on the road next Saturday afternoon at Rhode Island. That's their next game. They'll be off at midweek. Suarez loops it inside, and Kasia comes up short. Wheeler rebound. Nyolair front court, speeds down. Pass intended for Ariana Smith over her head. Dayton making some bad internal passes for a turnover. So in transition, Brown has a little poked away by Shannon Wheeler, but it comes right back to Brown on the ping pong effect. And now Suarez will set it up under 5 minutes to go first quarter. Suarez cross-court pass, bad pass, doesn't have enough oomph on it. It's intercepted by Nicole Stevens. Stevens almost has it poked away, but gets it over to Nyolair on the right wing. Played by Suarez outside the three-point stripe. And now it is Ivy Wolf. Ivy looks to get on track. She drives in the paint. She's double-teamed out to Nyolair. Thinks about the three. Instead drives an open lane and missed the lane. Rebound Smith, though, puts it in. It counts, and a foul. Ariana Smith bringing the Flyers back to within 4 points and can make a three. 74% free throw shooter on the season. We'll have to wait on the free throw. Timeout. 11-7, George Mason, 4:34, first quarter. We shall return.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring University of Dayton women's basketball to you today. It's because of businesses like these that we're able to broadcast these basketball games. Whenever you're in one of these establishments, please mention you heard about their support of UD women's basketball on the radio. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home and Medical Supply, Ghostlight Coffee, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Moe's Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, Sinorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
So, A-10 action, not much to talk about today. St. Joseph's is at George Washington. That's a game that will start at 2 o'clock. And tonight, Fordham, and they're coming off a spanking against Rhode Island. Tonight, Fordham will play at St. Louis. Tomorrow, there are four games. The early noon game is Davidson at VCU on CBS Sports Network. Duquesne is at St. Bonaventure. Rhode Island is at Richmond. And UMass will play at LaSalle. Look at the standings. Richmond's all alone at the top of the conference, though they don't have much room for error right now. They are 8-1. George Mason and St. Joseph's 8-2. The Flyers come in after that right now in fourth place at 7-3. So winning obviously protects the top four situation they have going now. Because right on their heels, the Flyer next opponent, Rhode Island, along with Fordham, both 6-3. Then you have UMass at 6-4. That coach has just done a great job with that program this year. Davidson and Duquesne are both at 5-4. VCU's at 4-6. Loyola's at 3-8. St. Louis is at 2-7. LaSalle's at 2-8. And then you've got the last place teams. George Washington is at 1-8. St. Bonaventure is at 1-9. The Flyers will have road games still to be played at those two teams, George Washington and St. Bonaventure. All right, 4:34 to go first quarter. The last foul was on Kasia, so that's her first. Both teams have two fouls in this first period as Dayton tries to recover from an 11-3 early hole. Even though Walton has not scored, so Ariana Smith will try to make it 5 Dayton points in a row. And does not look like substitutions have been made. Well, Lewis Volker is a 6'1 sophomore. She averaged 6 points a game. She is in the lineup for George Mason. And Ariana Smith scores, so she has 5 points. And Dayton has cut the deficit from 8 down to 3. Dayton presses in the back court. Suarez, front court. They beat the 10-second wrap. But now they have Habib in a straight jacket. And they're able to force the turnover. Very effective with good defense. Actually, they forced a jump ball. And on the silly alternating possession, George Mason keeps it, which does not reward the defense whatsoever. Walton will throw it in. Still looking for her first points. Still looking for her first shot, in fact. Suarez drives. Back behind, ball behind the back. Drives on Wheeler and missed an easy layup. But it comes to Habib and she puts it in. What a start for Habib. The grad student has 8 points. That's above her seasonal average already. And it's 13-8. So Habib is taking up the slack for Kennedy Harris. Natalie loses the ball but is able to recover on the right baseline. She has it quickly poked away and beautifully stolen by Walton. Into the front court. Here comes Suarez, thinks about the three, but instead gets it to Habib. She'll take the three and comes up short, and Nicole Stevens has the rebound. Shooting in the game, Dayton 3 of 8, 38%, 5 of 10, 50% so far for the George Mason Patriots, who lead it by 5. Nicole Stevens in the lane, up over Suarez, hits a teardrop shot. Stevens with 5 points, Smith with 5 points, Dayton has 10, but they trail by 3. In transition, a quick layup is missed for George Mason. But Habib is able to get her own misses. She was not blocked out. Brown the three right side. She couldn't get it. Halfway down. And it decided to come back out. Dayton can tie this game. Ivy Wolf drives. Ivy, pirouette in the lane. Up off glass. Can't get it. Rebound taken down by Walton. Walton is going to run a break. To our left. Walton is going to stop and pop right side and miss the shot. And Shannon Wheeler gets the rebound. I mentioned George Mason's shooting percentage. It's now dropping dramatically. They're down to 38%, 5 of 13. And we have a reach foul. Brown went for the steal and Ivy Wolf, and Brown picked up her first foul. And we're going to see Harris in along with the freshman Molly O'Riordan replacing Smith and Stevens. O'Riordan averages 2.4 points per game. Coming in for George Mason is Mitchell replacing Habib. That's Neku Mitchell. She's a 6-foot junior. She averages 5 points per contest. Wolf to throw it in. Bounce pass to Harris. 3 team fouls on Dayton and George Mason as Ivy Wolf drives the right side. Ivy is cut off, and now the ball's whipped outside the circle to Harris. To Ivy Wolf, 8 on the shot. Ivy, can she draw the foul? She didn't. Instead, gets it over to Harris. Nice pass inside Wheeler. She gets blocked, but it's not a clean block. The foul is on Volker, and Ricky Harris, 73%, goes to the line to shoot a pair, as here is the freshman Olivia Leung into the lineup for Dayton, replacing Niall Lear. Leung averages 7 points a game. Haven't had a chance to have you say anything. Haven't really had any breaks. Not ignoring you. I know you're sitting here.
It's been very back and forth so far. If I was going to add a comment, I was going to say that the Flyers are passing the ball extremely well early on, especially I feel like they're finding the open player in the paint no matter who it is early. Obviously right now it was Wheeler from Harris, and she's going to miss that first free throw. But she can make it a 2-point game.
And she's at 67% on the year. And again, what hurts Dayton, we say it every time, even today, 4 turnovers already. Still 2.5 minutes to go in the period. Shannon got the second one to go. And it makes it 13-11. But it's been a good recovery. George Mason has only hit 1 of their last 9 from the field. Oh, did I jinx him? Nope, because Volker missed a 3. She was wide open. And we have a traveling violation in the backcourt on Flyers. So that's turnover number 5.
And it looks like that's just a little miscommunication between Wheeler and Ivy Wolf. Wheeler thought Ivy was just going to come back to the ball, and she kept running, and she had to reset her feet.
So it gives Suarez the ball. Now Harris is playing her. They double-team Suarez, so the ball is out to Mitchell. Mitchell is guarded by Wheeler. A loop pass underneath Habib. Actually, they save it, or do they? And we're going to have a foul on Mitchell as the ball was up for grabs, and Naku Mitchell's picked up a foul. So they have five fouls now. Five different players have one foul apiece, and that means that the officials aren't sure what to do. That's what that means. I was going to say, that's not a shooting foul, even though they're over. That's more of an offensive player control foul, and Ricky Harris will watch Wheeler throw it in the back court. That's what the officials wanted to confirm, that there were no shots to be taken. Again, just joining us here on 1660 Information Radio, Oliver Nitz, Barney Centner. 2 minutes to go, first quarter, live from UD Arena. The Flyers trailed at George Mason early 11-3, but now they're back within two at 13-11. And Ivy Wolf has the basketball over to O'Riordan. Molly will drive one dribble. It's off to Harris, and the ball's kicked for Mitchell. And that's nice because it gives Dayton 20 seconds to shoot. Harris will throw it in front of the cheerleaders and pep band. Harris loops it into Ivy Wolf. Olivia Leung has it outside the three-point stripe. She will drive on Suarez, and she's tripped. No foul called. Olivia's shaken up, and she is hurt. They're not going to stop it. Olivia's still hurt. Georgia Mason badly misses a three. Brown gets it back. Olivia's still down, and they hit a three right now, and that's Brown on the second opportunity. Jada Brown hits the three, and now we stop the game as Olivia took a spill, and she is still down, and the training staff comes out, and gosh, we hope she just didn't hurt an ankle, and she is not feeling good, the left ankle knee area. Again, the Flyers are already short today with a Jacques Madal hurt, and now they're going to help Olivia off as she puts a little pressure on it, and we will monitor what is going to happen there. So, 1:25 to go first quarter. George Mason took advantage of a missed shot by Brown, but Brown then coming back to hit a three-pointer, and that increases the lead to 16-11. And as for Brown, she had a career-high 14 points against Mount St. Mary's in her first start earlier this year. Shantavia Dawkins in for Dayton. She averages 3 points a game. So they are going, I'm not sure, into the locker room or if they're going to put her near the bicycle, but we'll hope for good things for Olivia Leung. Flyers trail, and they lose the ball here with turnover number six on an offensive foul that might be on O'Riordan. That would be her first. 1:16 to go in the period. Front court, they have Kamaya McNeil, a 5'7 grad student, averages 1.6 points per game, in the lineup for the first time, sporting some rather neat-looking yellow shoes as I try to become a fashion commentator here. Kasia with the basketball up. They left Volker alone for a three. Maybe they need to do that more. It was an air ball way off the mark, but George Mason gets it back. Shot clock doesn't reset, so McNeil tries a three, and it doesn't hit anything, and it's a shot clock violation. Seven turnovers for the Flyers in this first period to three for George Mason. It's one reason Dayton trails in this basketball game, 16-11. Ivy Wolf kicks it, but is able to get it back. And with 10 on the shot, Ivy looks to take Mitchell one-on-one. Uses a screen, and we have a George Mason foul. And it's on Mitchell, and that is her second. And it puts us close to a sure thing at the free throw line that Dayton can have. See if Ivy Wolf can get on the board. Dayton shoots 70% as a team from the line. Ivy's at 83. And Dayton is going to bring Ariana Smith back in. Good news is she does not have any fouls in this game. And Molly O'Riordan is out. George Mason likely to go for one. 26 seconds to go in the first quarter. Dayton Trails at 16 to 11. And we'll, they're still working on in the tunnel, Olivia Leung. And Ivy Wolf missed the free throw. See, sometimes I say once you put these two down, the score will be. So don't credit me with an announcer jinx on this one. She rarely misses two in a row. She didn't there. I did not jinx her. That's her first point. Now Lear will replace her. That'll give Ivy an extended break as we're almost done with the first period. So Dayton will have some full court pressure here now.
Interesting.
Yeah,
approach.
Bit of a gamble.
This.
But Suarez, backcourt McNeil, back to Paula Suarez. Double team back to McNeil. And they do get it in the front court, but McNeil is over and back. That's a great double team by Dawkins and Niall Lear to force McNeil's right foot to go to the back court. And the Flyers will get the last shot of the quarter with 15 seconds left. And they're going to bring in offense for Niall Lear in the person of Nicole Stevens. So Shannon Wheeler, the engineering major, is going to throw it in.
Yeah, that was just some phenomenal defense off the backcourt pressure. It paid off there.
See if Dayton can take advantage. Pull within two or one by the end of the first quarter. 10 seconds to go. Wheeler to Harris. Harris right wing, outside the three-point stripe. 5 seconds. Ricky has to make her move. Ricky in the lane. Ricky with two. And Ricky traveled. It's going to, with 1.4, give George Mason, I don't know what it's going to give him. You just don't want to foul them here. They will throw it in, and they will not even get off a shot. All right, didn't look good early. Dayton trailed at 11-3. We do have the Leung injury to be concerned about, but George Mason leads the game 16-12 after the first. We'll be back.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring University of Dayton women's basketball to you today. It is because of businesses like these that we are able to broadcast these basketball games. Whenever you are in one of these establishments, please mention you heard about their support of UD women's basketball on radio. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demne Cass Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home and Medical Supply, Ghost Light Coffee, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Las Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-in Tub and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
So a couple of interesting things. First of all, rebounds are even. But for George Mason, a team that only turns the ball over 11 times a game, they already have 5 after the first quarter. The problem is the Flyers have 8. George Mason also has been 3-point happy in this game. They are 3 of 10. I cannot see them shooting 43-pointers total. But that's interesting that without Harris today, they are really bombing it up and not doing all that much success going 3 of 10. All right, so you talked about Harris's absence today ad nauseum. She is the A-10 Player of the Week. It's actually the Under Armour Women's Basketball Player of the Week sponsor. Second time this year. She averaged 26 points on 55% shooting last week, including those 29 points against Davidson. She shot 75% from the three-point stripe, 6 of 7 from 3 against George Washington. And she also averaged 6 assists over that week as well. She now with 6 20-plus point games, 16 games in double figures. As for the Rookie of the Week, St. Bonaventure, Zoe Shaw, no relation to Dennis Shaw, averaged 20.5 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, and 2.5 assists. She shot 61% from the field and 44% from the three-point stripe in their two games. She had a career-high 22 points in a game against Fordham. It's her second Rookie of the Week honor this year. Lots of other good performances, and we will touch upon those at the next opportunity. All right, Dayton comes out with Wheeler, Harris, Stevens, Dawkins, Smith, I'm surprised that Ivy Wolf is still on the bench, but she's played a lot of minutes this year. It's Suarez, Walton, who's been held scoreless, Brown. And there's a shot of three for Nicole Stevens, who's really found her offensive touch in conference. She's got 8 points, and Dayton, closest they've been in a long time now, trails this game only 16-15. It's Brown in the front court. Bounce pass Suarez between the circles, guarded by Dawkins. Off to Walton. Walton looking to get on the board for the first time. Said dumps it underneath to Kasia. Kasia's double team and she banks it in. Hard angle shot for Nalani Kasia, the 6'2 grad student. Her first points. And George Mason back up front, 18-15. Driving is Ricky Harris. Shot comes up short off the rim. And Kasia's there for the rebound. To Suarez. Front court, Paula. Changes hands on the dribble. Is met by Wheeler. Ball is off to Walton. Walton cut off effectively by Harris. Now Brown has the basketball with 10 to shoot. Brown fadeaway three over Harris. Tough shot, can't get it on the left side. But the rebound comes in traffic to Habib. And George Mason gets another chance. And they take advantage of it as Suarez nails a top of the key three. 8 for her, and George Mason back in front by 6, 21-15. Dawkins will drive for Dayton in the lane, guarded by Suarez. Turnaround, Suarez blocks it cleanly and takes the ball away. Suarez doing everything, both ends of the court. Drives, thinks about the three instead. Gives the basketball up to Habib. Off to Walton. Walton's not going to be scoreless forever. Now driving is Kasia. Kasia inside, hits a basket. Kasia has 4. They need to see if Dayton's going to call timeout. They need Ivy Wolf in the game. They need a whistle for that, though, as the Minster grad is primed to come in. We're 2 minutes into the quarter, and George Mason already has outscored Dayton 7-2, and that may change here soon as Dayton's going to go to the free throw line after a shooting foul. Kasia picks up the foul. That's her second. And it is Shantavia Dawkins at the line. She's at 73% on the season. Ivy Wolf is going to check in for her, but only if the second free throw is made. First one clunks off the front iron. Dayton not helping themselves at the line. 3 of 6. We have held the Patriots to at least 1 of 1 so far. As Dayton has been outscored again 7-3 this period. Dawkins free throw. Well, he's still been outscored 7-3. Clunks off. But George Mason can't get the rebound. That will allow Dawkins to be replaced by Ivy Wolf. Tamika Williams-Jenner mentioned that free throw shooting, which actually was good against Loyola, 12 of 15, 75%, but it's waned elsewhere in the conference, and today it's only 3 of 7. Can't do that when you trail by 8. Ricky Harris drives. She's cut off effectively. On the give and go to Wheeler. Drives the baseline. She's cut off effectively. And turnaround spinning. She gets blocked by Habib, but gets the ball back. Dayton with 4 to shoot, and Harris tries to draw the foul. She can't hit it. And Smith wildly throws it up, doesn't hit anything. I thought they'd call a violation, a shot clock violation. I have no idea why they didn't. Vanessa Blair Lewis is pointing at the scoreboard, but it's too late to change things now. And yeah, she's exactly right. That should have been a shot clock violation. The officials just blew it. Dayton now 15 to shoot on a reprieve. Driving off glass. Stevens got it. Nicole Stevens has 10 in this game. And Dayton is very fortunate to be down 6. I mean, we're amateur officials. We could have called that shot clock violation.
Yeah, it's certainly a lucky break for Dayton. I mean, that shot did not go anywhere close to hitting the rim, too. So the Patriots bench had every right to be upset with that one.
So they have a 6-point lead with 7 minutes to go in the first half. Don't forget the interview with Jacques Madal. She did the interview in her walking boot. We'll hear about her escapades of trying to get healthy again, but right now we're also worried about Olivia Leung, who may have hurt her ankle slash knee early in the first quarter as she was tended to, and now backing her defender down is Kasia, and she hits it off glass. She has 6 points, a 6'2 grad student, averages 8, and George Mason's back in front by 8. It's an open three. Look, Harris right side. It's off the mark. Harris fouls it back up, and Walton actually knocks it out of bounds and can't save it. Walton's, and I know I'm belaboring the point. George Mason is up by 8. Walton is carrying them today. The leading score at 14.5. She has zero, and she has one shot. But lots of other players have taken up the cause for the Patriots. 10 to shoot for Dayton. Down 8. Driving Stevens. Stevens draws double coverage on the ground. And it's picked up by Habib before the tie-up was called. Walton over to Brown. A 3 right side. Brown misses it. I think that's Brown's 3rd 3 miss of the game. They are now 4 of 12 from the 3-point stripe. That's really keeping Dayton in this game. It's Harris. Cross-court pass. Johnson in the game. She shoots a 3 herself, and it's wildly off the mark. It's an air ball. And it comes right to Habib. Nyalera will come back in for Dayton in a moment. Driving, open basket, good. Kasia, she's got 8. Timeout Flyers on the verge of getting blown out, trailing 27-17, 5:47 to go. First half, George Mason, 11-5 this period. We will talk more about it, but our underwriters are up right now.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring University of Dayton women's basketball to you today. It's because of businesses like these that we're able to broadcast these basketball games. Whenever you're in one of these establishments, please mention you heard about their support of UD women's basketball on radio. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home and Medical Supply, Ghost Light Coffee, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Roederer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
So again, George Mason has been heating up from the field. They've hit 4 of the last 5, and they're up by 10. I mentioned lots of other good performances last week. In fact, my constant rant with the A-10 office. Ariana Smith continues to put up excellent statistics with double-doubles. She did it again last week, though she did not win the award. She averaged 20.5 points and 13.5 rebounds with her 6th and 7th double-doubles of the season. That's over wins against St. Louis and Richmond. Other good performances last week. LaSalle's rookie Joan Quinn averaged 18 points and 9 rebounds. Rhode Island's Harsimran Honey Carr averaged a double-double last week, 16 points and 13.5 rebounds. Well, this young lady is probably going to be player of the year. Richmond's Maggie Dugan, double-double of the season, second one against the Flyers. We know it well. We saw it here in person, 26 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks. Followed that up, 14 points against Loyola. Another top player in this conference last week, St. Joe's Laura Ziegler, averaged 15.5 points, 14 rebounds, and 4.5 assists in 2 games. And then you have St. Louis's Kennedy Calhoun, who averaged 11.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3.5 steals in her games last week. So those are some of the very good performances, and feels like we're right back where we started from in terms of digging a hole, climbing out of the hole, then digging another hole. In fact, there's an income tax commercial on radio, which is just so funny. They say there are more exciting things or less exciting things to do than doing your taxes. One is digging a hole. One is digging an even bigger hole. And I feel like that's what Dayton has done today. All right. Back to action. 5.5 minutes to go first half. Nicole Stevens with the basketball. She's been the big person for Dayton today with 10. Johnson missed a 3. She was open. Rebound comes down for Nalani Kasia. Very balanced George Mason team. Again, Harris out today, and Walton hasn't scored, but it has not deterred George Mason. Inside Volker missed it in the paint. Got a good look. Flyers can capitalize, we hope. Driving is Lear. Gets blocked inside. Ball loose to Kasia. Up court, bad pass intended, but Brown's able to track it down. It does thwart the fast break. And now Habib shoots a brick. Rushed it for absolutely no reason. See if Dayton can get Ivy Wolf going. 0-1 from the field. She'll shoot an open 3. Short. Rebound comes to Ariana Smith in the paint. She goes up. She's blocked from behind by Volker. George Mason gets their hands on everything that Dayton is throwing up today. 4:40 to go first half. Only one foul in this entire quarter, and it's on George Mason. They have a 10-point lead, looking to increase it. Suarez on the dribble, outside the three-point stripe. Cross court to Brown, loops it underneath, and to Volker, and she has the ball kicked off her knee. And that is a turnover, and Dayton's going to go for some height. Arian, well, I'm going to take out the rebounding machine, Smith. They're going to bring in the 6'5 Eve Fiala, who averages 1 point a game. See what she can do. As the Flyers have been held to 5 points this period. Down 10. Stevens is blocked inside. The ball's out of bounds. Feels like the officials are always standing where I can't see.
Yeah.
I know, right now, I can't see anything.
They're trying to make sure you don't know what's going on.
They're doing a good job. Ball's into Fiala. Eve, turnaround in the lane, comes up short. Rebound to Kasia. One and done for Dayton again. Habib into the front court. Hits Suarez the trailer. Suarez, the first 5 points of the game for the Patriots. Here's a Volker three left side. She can't hit anything. Misses. Habib is blocked cleanly by Eve Fiala. Ball out of bounds off of Stevens. At least we've got a good impact defensively for Eve Fiala.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits of the height of Fiala, bringing her in. Obviously, her defense is going to be phenomenal with that height.
Mason 20 to shoot. Again up 10. On the dribble, Brown. Bounce past Kasia. Drives on Fiala. Reverse layup. Intimidated. Missed the shot. But Habib is able to come back with it. To Suarez. Oh, boy, that three doesn't even hit the net or the rim. She swishes it. Her third of the game. She's got 11 points, and George Mason's biggest lead of the game is by 13.
Yeah, Suarez has been a huge team player for the Patriots so far in this game.
She's not one of their top three-point shooters as the ball's kicked. Dayton will keep it, and they bring Ricky Harris back in. I'm going to have to see what Suarez's three-point stats are this year, if I can find it. Sing for me for a minute. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding. So Suarez, oh, I'm going to have to find another thing to look at. I'll have to do it later. All right, so Ricky Harris with the basketball, driving, forces it up, but comes up short. And Volker is there for the tough rebound. And Ricky Harris fouls her in the backcourt. And for Harris, that is her first foul. No free throws to be shot here. I do have my George Mason information because I am very curious what Suarez is doing on the season from the three-point stripe. And I can tell you that it's respectable. It's 33%. But today, she is 3 of 3. It's going to really do some nice things for her percentage. Olivia Leung, we'll talk about her in a moment. And driving Suarez off glass. She decides to go for the two-point route this time. Makes the shot. And Olivia Leung is out there with a crutch and an ice bag on her foot. That's not good. Inside, Fiala can't hit the shot. And the does a good job of disrupting the defensive rebound. And actually now they tie up. The ball will go George Mason's way. So it looks like Olivia has an ice pack on the right ankle area. And we'll hope that's not a long-term injury. I'm sure she won't be back today. Dayton doesn't play for a week. That's probably good for Olivia. We'll just, again, hope that she gets better.
Yeah, it's very...
But she's not out there in a walking boot, at least.
Very unfortunate.
Or in a body cast.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to see that. Dayton has 5 this period, but George Mason, they've got 16. And they've opened it up big time. This is the top-level team in this conference. Suarez is played a little too closely by Fiala, and Eve has picked up a foul. And that's Dayton's second of the period to only one for George Mason. Again, the interview with another injured Flyer at halftime is Jacques Medal. Pass the ball's into Habib. Back over to Suarez. Arianna Smith will come back in for Dayton in a moment. Suarez in the corner. Volker driving the baseline. Beautiful pass out to Brown. Brown now one-on-one with Ivy Wolf in the lane. Can't believe they didn't call 3 seconds. Well, instead we got a shot clock violation. Even though that three miss by Suarez would have counted, I would have disputed it personally. And Nicole Stevens to our right. Flip out to Fiala. Fiala a little clumsy in the lane. Throws it off the backboard. Can't get any rim on it. And Suarez will drive. Hand it off. And basket good for Kasia. 10 points for Kasia. They're just putting on a clinic. I don't know what more to say. I mean, Dayton's turnovers don't help at 10, but, you know, they come in shorthanded. No Harris. Walton hasn't scored. And yet they're still up 34-17.
Yeah, they've doubled Dayton's point total.
Ivy Wolf drives. See if she can get anything going. She's almost tied up. Gets away and missed the shot. And Kasia gets another rebound. How many rebounds does Kasia have? Feels like about 15. Already 8. 7 rebounds for Habib, and Volker missed a shot from the left baseline. Puts her at 0 for 5 on the afternoon. And we're under a minute to go in a fast-moving, though disappointing, first half. If you're a Dayton fan, if you're a George Mason fan, you just gotta love this. On the dribble is Nicole Harris. And Nicole Stevens. Harris on the break. Stevens will drive, draws double coverage out to Ricky Harris, and she connects from 10 on the left side. First points of the day for Ricky Harris. 34-19. George Mason can pretty much go for one shot here, as they have outscored Dayton 18-7 in a forgettable second period. We also saw in the first half Olivia Leung get injured and is now on crutches, sitting on the bench. 8 to shoot. A 3-ball Habib banks it in, and it's all going right. Habib has 10. It's 21-7, George Mason, this period. And that's the way it ends. 37-19, George Mason. And I'm not going to compete with the Pep Band. Our halftime interview after this.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your flap. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
It's halftime at UD Arena. Our halftime program today is being brought to you by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the studios for halftime.
I'm with Ajak Mundell, and she is one of the players for the University of Dayton women's basketball. So let me get into a couple of things here for you. First of all, you live in Canada, right?
Yeah.
What specifically got you interested in playing basketball in the first place?
Well, initially I was a soccer player. Like, I played soccer for 14 years. And then when COVID happened, I kind of made the switch because everything was, like, shut down. So I was like, I may as well, like, start picking up basketball. Because my older brother played basketball, so okay. I just followed his steps and then fell in love with it. So
was that an easy transformation from soccer to basketball? You're not allowed to kick the basketball,
yeah,
you know?
But I still get, like, a lot of kickballs, like, in games and stuff. But I played goalie, so, like, it was kind of easy. Like, I used my hands a lot in goalie, so it was, like, easy.
I see in high school you were lettering in soccer, mm-hmm, and volleyball. Why did you decide to stay with basketball?
Well, like I said, like, I fell in love with it, like, as soon as I started, and just, like, I always liked the process of getting better, and I felt like it was easy for me to get better individually as a basketball player instead of, like, the other sports, because those were, like, you have to be in, a, like, a team environment to, like, succeed while basketball, like, I was able to work on like my ball handling or shooting and stuff like on my own. So I thought it was just easier to do that.
Okay. And then after playing in Minnesota, what academically attracted you to Dayton?
Definitely their health science program. Like, I want to pursue occupational therapy after this. And I know it's a very, like, high academic school, so it was just, like, the perfect fit.
And how did you hear about UD all the way up in, where's Alberta?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Oh, close.
Well, like, when I entered the portal, they reached out to me, and I didn't really know where Dayton is. I thought it was Daytona, like, in Florida.
You thought you were going to be down on the beaches, right?
Yeah, but once I searched up and then got to build, like, a relationship with the coaches, like, location didn't really matter. So. Okay.
No beaches here, though.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Can you explain, tell me a little bit about your major? Is it, you have to tell me what this is, kinesiology?
Kinesiology.
Kinesiology. Yeah. Okay. What type of course curriculum are you involved in?
So it's mostly, like, the body, so, like, anatomy and physiology and, like, seeing, like, how it moves and, like, a lot of, like, science courses for that.
So is that put you in the medical field or more in sports medicine? Where does that go?
It puts me more in, like, the medical. Because occupational therapy, it's, like, in a patient-based.
Okay. Kind of something like physical therapy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had a physical therapist one time. I called her my physical terrorist. So
yeah.
You probably have heard that before,
yeah.
Though. So what classes are particularly challenging, and how do you go about budgeting your time, especially when you have to be on the road?
Right now I'm really in, like, the CAP courses, so I'm not, like, actually in, like, the harder classes, but one of them, like, definitely, like, chemistry, because I just don't like chemistry at all. But we have, like, a lot of tutors and, like, a lot of help here, so it makes it a lot easier, especially when we're traveling, because that I can, like, text our academic coordinator and ask her for, I guess.
So you have a chemistry lab then, right?
Yeah.
And you haven't blown anything up in the lab?
No. No.
Okay. And how do you feel about the early morning practices? I imagine most people your age are not exactly early birds, but
yeah.
What is your favorite drill practice to participate in, and what drill practice is particularly challenging? Now, I hit you with three questions.
Yeah.
First of all, what do you think about the early morning practices?
Well, in Minnesota, we, like, went early sometimes, so I kind of got used to it. Like, I don't really, like, feel, like, any type of way towards them. Like, I'm fine with that. And it helps me, like, with the rest of my day, like, do everything that I need to do. So I like it, because then I get that out of the way, and then I'm able to go to classes, do homework, and then do other stuff that I need to do. And then what was the second question?
Okay. What is your favorite drill in practice?
I like when we go live, so 5-on-5.
5-on-5.
Yeah.
Playing against the guys, or just the...
Yeah, well, I like playing against each other, too, because we're all, like, competitive, so it's, like, it's good.
What's your least favorite drill?
Definitely Olympic shooting or one-on-one closeouts. Yeah.
Okay. And then we talked a little bit about your career goals as far as what you're doing is kind of more of a semi-medical type of thing. Do you have to get a license to do whatever you're going to do when you're done with that?
Yeah, so I'll go to, like, grad school after this, and I think it's around 3 years, and then I'll have to write, like, a board exam to get licensed to practice.
Is that here in the U.S. or Canada, or either way?
It can be either, yeah.
Do you know where you're going to do your work?
I'm not sure yet. Like, there's a program opening up, like, 2 hours away from where, like, from where I live, so, like, that would be nice, like, going back home, but it really just depends on whether or not I want to stay. And
okay, and I see when you play for Minnesota, you're in 15 games, and you average 2.1 points per game. High school, let's see, I'm just kind of looking over these. Averaged 29.6 points in high school. So what's the big difference you found between high school basketball and college basketball?
Well, high school, like, especially where I'm from, a lot of people would just play for fun, or, like, just play for, like, to get, like, a letter, like, and
have a jacket with a letter on it, right? Yeah.
So it's like in college, everyone's good. So you just have to make that adjustment and come in every day willing to like work. And it's like definitely a challenge mentally, because like you go from being the best player on your team to being like just like trying to find your role. So yeah, I think that finding my role was definitely the hardest thing to do.
Okay, and I see you have 1, 2, 3, 4 siblings. Mm-hmm. And of course your parents. Do any of them get to come see you play any games?
Not yet, because 3 of my siblings are graduating this year. So my younger brother, he's still in high school, and then my sister and my older brother, they're in university, so they're focusing on their degrees. And then my mom's also really busy with work, so it's just finding like time to come and see me play.
Do they get to listen to the games anyway?
Yeah, they get to watch. They get to watch.
They watch them on ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if that went to Canada.
Yeah. It does. I think there might be like another way that they find it online, but I know that they get to watch the games.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Let me go back here. So you're sporting a foot brace or an ankle brace now, and how did you get injured doing that?
So our game against Richmond, I went to go contest one of the girl shots, and I like landed kind of funny on it, and initially I didn't think it was my ankle, because I also had like a knee injury before, but when I got home, like I saw how bruised it was, and then I felt pain in my ankle. So,
all right, yeah. But you're on the mend, and you hope to be back shortly.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Hopefully, either for the Rhode Island game or after the Rhode Island game.
All right, and I know you guys got in really late last night. What, 3 o'clock in the?
Well, I didn't travel with them, but what time did you guys?
3:30.
Yeah, they got.
Did you have a 6 o'clock practice?
No.
Or go that one?
No. That would be crazy if we did that.
just stay up and practice at that point. Okay, Jack, I think we've kind of covered all the points, and I'm glad you're on the mend and that you're getting some playing time here at UD. Let me ask you one other thing. As far as you've had some playing time, what is the most difficult game you've played in?
I definitely say the Duke game, because of their pressure. Like, and I've never played, like, even when I was at Minnesota, like, I never played in like those type of games. But it was definitely like, it was very fast paced, so it was hard to like keep up. But it was a good game, because it like challenged us to get better as a team. So,
okay. Yeah. So gave you some experience, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ajak, very much for coming in to see me.
The program was brought to you today by the Bob Ross Auto Group on Loop Road in Centerville. Now let's head back to the arena for the second half of today's contest.
All right, we're going to give you the numbers. They're not pretty if you're a Dayton fan, and your team trails 37-19. George Mason outscored the Flyers 14-2 over 6-minute 46-second segment of the second quarter. Dayton only hit one of their last 13 shots from the field in that second quarter. The team stats look like this. The Flyers are shooting 7 of 30, that's 23%. And George Mason is 15 of 37, 41%. George Mason's three-point shooting has gotten a little bit better. They're 6 of 16, 38%. Dayton 2 of 7, 29%. Dayton's 3 of 7 at the line. George Mason is 1 of 1. Turnovers, Dayton has 9, and George Mason has 6, but only 1 in the second quarter. Points off turnovers, George Mason 9-6. Rebounds, George Mason by 3. Second chance points, George Mason capitalizing 11-5. Points in the paint, George Mason 14-6. Patriots have 6 blocks compared to 1 of Dayton. They have 5 fast break points, and Dayton has 0. So George Mason's playing their game, and obviously the Flyers are not. Dayton finally comes out. 3 minutes to go until we start the third quarter. And we'll see if Olivia Leung comes out on crutches. At this point, we don't see her, but we'll watch for her. The individual scoring. Thank goodness for Nicole Stevens. 10 points, 4 of 6 from the field. Niall Lear has not scored. Ricky Harris has two on only one of seven shooting. Ivy Wolf, boy, they have stopped her cold. 1.03 from the field. Fiala has not scored. Dawkins has not scored. Ariana Smith does have 7 rebounds, 5 points. Olivia Leon got hurt. And Jada Johnson hasn't scored. Shayna Wheeler in 10 minutes has a free throw. Molly O'Regan has not scored. For George Mason, Brown starting the game in place of Harris has 3 points. Suarez scored the first 5. She has 13 on the game, 5 of 7 from the field. Volker is 0-5 from the field, hasn't scored. Habib, 11.7 rebounds. Kasia, 10.9 rebounds. That duo has been tough on Dayton today. Again, Walton, 12 minutes, hasn't scored. I guess you could say she's been a decoy. Missed her one shot from the field. Mitchell has 2 points. McNeil in 1 minute of play. Now, Mitchell does not have 2 points. She has not scored in 2 minutes, and McNeil has not scored either. George Mason started this game up 11-3. Dayton was able to rally and be down by 4 at the end of the first quarter, but George Mason took control in the second quarter, 21-7. Dayton had 8 of its turnovers in the first quarter. Dayton improved that in the second quarter, only 1 turnover. George Mason had 5 turnovers in the first quarter, only 1 in the second quarter as well. So, I don't know what Dayton can do. This is a big hole, down 18. And they are both teams in the huddle, and we are about a minute away. Well, we'll tell you about our next broadcast, which will be 1 week from Wednesday. It'll be February the 12th. It will be the annual education game. Be on the air about 10:45 in the morning. All the schools have committed. So right now, if a school wants to still attend, they have to be on standby and hope another school cancels out. Otherwise, we expect a full crowd here at UT Arena. It will be loud. And again, that will be against Davidson 1 week from next Wednesday, a team in which was supposed to be here last year, but they had so many injuries and illness that, and I see Olivia Leung is on crutches and she is now getting on the bicycle and they're going to try to maybe loosen up the ankle. I don't know, but certainly don't expect to see her back playing today. But again, Davidson couldn't play last year. They actually had to cancel their season midway through the conference, and it was a shame because in non-conference they beat a highly ranked Duke team. They had a lot of good expectations, but they had to stop their season. So Dayton wound up playing Miami Hamilton at the last minute and beat them by about 60 points. So right now we're waiting to get underway. Molly O'Reardon is going to throw it in at half court to Nicole Stevens, and they set the clock, and we are now underway in the third quarter with Dayton trailing in this game 37-19. And O'Reardon starts this third period. Harris, Stevens, Wolf, Smith. And right now, Ricky Harris looks back toward Ivy Wolf. Beautiful executed for Ivy's first basket of the game with the beautiful assist from Nicole Stevens. And it's now 37-21. Wonder how many times in her career Walton has been held scoreless in a first half. Not that I can check that, but just room for thought. I
could imagine it'd be pretty rare.
Yes, maybe 0. Brown, open 3. Gave it to her and missed as Molly O'Reardon cheated on another player, and it worked out. Shot was missed from 3. Ricky Harris quickly up. Ariana Smith, good catch. Basket. Smith has 7. So Dayton showing some fight to start this third period. Down now 14. And now Ricky Harris got crashed into. No offensive foul. And boy, it didn't work out well because Suarez, she just bombed in a 3-pointer. So impressed with that player. She has got 16. Thought there'd be an offensive foul there, but no such luck. Dayton down 40-23. A little push off for Stevens. Now ball's underneath. Good pass. And Ariana Smith scores. And she'll go to the line to complete the 3-point play and look for her 10th point. And that was a good observant assist for Molly O'Reardon. And Kasia has just picked up her 3rd foul. So if there's anything that can slow her, it will be foul trouble. She goes to the bench, and Volker will come back in for her.
Lots of offensive trading to open up this third period. And that's what Dayton needs to do. I mean, I know, obviously, Suarez hit that 3, but...
Oh, We never see that. Free throw wasn't going to go, but and the reason I'm giggling is because Molly O'Riordan didn't just leave the lane early. She entered the entire lane early. So, obviously, the free throw was negated. It would have missed anyway. Dayton down 15, minute and a half into the second half. And Walton is stuck blue-wise by Ariana Smith. Suarez has it, guarded by Nicole Stevens. Turnaround shot over her. Great defense, and Suarez still at the shot. She's got the game of her life. I'll have to look up her career numbers soon. But she has 25 already in this game.
Yeah.
She has gone off.
If you're Stevens, what else can you do right
there? No, be a follower, I guess. Driving Wolf splits the defenders, missed the shot. Ariana Smith gets it back and puts it in. Smith has 11. Does she already have the double-double? Nope, she's two rebounds short. She'll get it. It'll be her eighth double-double of the year. Dayton down 15. Suarez thinks she can hit everything today. Can she hit another three? No, she missed this one. Good. Announcer jinx worked there.
I think that's the matchup Dayton needs right there. Smith on Suarez.
A three for O'Riordan. Air ball out of bounds. Not a good decision. Let me look up Suarez here. See what I can tell you about her. Let's see. I'll find it.
If Dayton wants to get back into this game, one thing I think they really should put on hold is the forced threes. I think maybe take some more time to try to create a better shot.
Well, Suarez now has a career high of 25. She eclipses it as there's a missed shot. And George Mason will get another chance. She had 24 against Penn State. Well, Suarez now has 28. Every time I try to talk about her statistics, she just keeps hitting threes. She had 24 against Penn State. She has 28 here at Dayton now with 5 3-pointers. And she is just tremendous.
She's having a day.
Actually, she's only got 20. I miscalculated. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Inside, Ariana Smith gets the basket. She's got 13. Actually, Suarez only has 21. So she doesn't even have her career high yet. She'll get there, though. Now, so I miscalculated. Suarez, a little teardrop in the lane, banks it in. Okay, now she has 23. So twice I'll probably be able to announce her career high. Once prematurely. Next time it'll be for real. And she's 8 of 11 from the field, 5 of 7 from the three-point stripe. 47-29. George Mason in control, 6.5 minutes to go in a rapidly played third quarter. That Olivia Leung is now sitting without crutches, so that's a good sign. She's watching the game from the bench, and inside Ivy Wolf misses, doesn't get a foffer over the back, should have, and Volter gets the rebound up to Suarez, quickly up to Habib. And Suarez now will take some time off. Calling the play. The Spaniard will drive. Is this the career high? Sure is. Bank shot good. There's 25-point career high for Suarez. Driving Stevens, and that's about the only thing that Suarez has done wrong today. A reach foul, and that is her first.
Some great handles by Stevens right there, driving on Suarez.
Shannon Wheeler in for Ariana Smith, and we see Massenburg. I'm going to say Massengill. Trinity Massenburg, Baltimore Polytech Institute out of Baltimore, Maryland, a 6-foot sophomore into the lineup. Massenburg, she wears number 10, but so does Ivy, and Ivy, a tough three, challenged, missed it, and Massenburg comes up with the rebound. On the give and go, the play is broken up and it's out of bounds. I don't know why Ricky Harris tried to save it. Well, now I know why, because Massenburg picked up a foul. Her first. 5:23 to go. Dayton down 20. They're down 18 at the half. Maybe it's a good sign about Livia Leung. We don't see any crutches near her. We'll ask the coach after the game. Not sure what she'll tell us or what she's allowed to tell us. Driving is Ivy. Wolf double team. Pass out of traffic outside the three-point stripe to Stevens. 8 to shoot. Stevens on the dribble. Stevens with 5. Drives on Suarez and banks it up and missed it. And the rebound to Habib. Quickly in transition, it's Brown. Brown shaded by O'Riordan. She'll take the three, ill-advised. Brown doesn't look like shoots very well, and that one was way off the mark. Hit nothing. Stevens. Here's Amalia Reardon three, and she overshoots everything in a rushed shot that Dayton did not need whatsoever. And both teams trade bad shots. So with 4.5 minutes to go, Dayton with no fouls this period. George Mason with three. Dayton's been outscored by 2 points this period. Now Suarez is calming things down on the dribble. Looked right in the eye by Ivory Wolf. Niall Lear is going to come in for Dayton, but that'll be after the media timeout. Here's a three from the corner, missed, and unfortunately Shannon Wheeler in the wrong place at the wrong time. Fouled the shooter, who will get three free throws. Shannon picks up her first foul, and that'll send us to our media timeout. 4:16 to go, third quarter, 49-29. George Mason will be back.
Information Radio 1660. Would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring University of Dayton women's basketball to you today. It is because of businesses like these that we are able to broadcast these basketball games. Whenever you are in one of these establishments, please mention you heard about their support of UD women's basketball on radio. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demney Cass Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home and Medical Supply, Ghost Light Coffee, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Las Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-in Tub and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
All right, time for your annual education on the other university as the Flyers are in a 2.5-minute scoring drought. As for George Mason, it was named for George Mason, makes sense, one of the founding fathers of the United States. The university was founded in 1949 as a branch of the University of Virginia, became an independent university in 1972 with four campuses. In 2024, 90% of all applicants were accepted. I guess there's hope for you, Oliver. High school class. Now, this is interesting. When people are considered for admission, George Mason does not consider the rank of somebody in their high school, nor do they consider standardized test scores. Well, that would have helped me because I was a horrible test taker. I choked up all the time. For tradition, if you rub the George Mason statue's toe on the Fairfax campus, you're supposed to have good luck. I think we need a lot of the Flyers to be doing that today. Too late. Some of the alum include Richard Hatch. He was the first winner on the TV series Survivor. Also 14-year basketball coach Jim Larrañaga, who's recently retired. Diana Rossini, former ESPN anchor, now with The Athletic. And I know you have no idea who Martin Sherwin is. I'm not even going to ask you to comment on that. He won a Pulitzer Prize, which is an award for achievement in journalism, for his biography of Robert Oppenheimer. Now, if you don't know who Robert Oppenheimer is, supposedly he was the father of the atomic bomb. Great movie made last year. Long movie, but yeah. Well worth it.
Very long.
Seen the movie. Yeah, it was like 18 hours. No, it was about 2 hours and 45 minutes. Robert Downey Jr., you wouldn't even recognize him in that movie.
Yeah.
All right, so Habib is at the line. She's going to get three free throws. So she has started all 31 games last year. She averaged 10 points a game last year. It's down a little bit this year to 7.3. 36% from the three-point stripe last year. First free throw is good. She's got 12 points today. Make it 13. She'll even get a third. See if she can go 3 for 3 here. 4:16 to play in the third period. Knocked them all in. Good for her. She's got 13. She's got 14. My math is off today. Wow. And they steal the ball from Stevens, and Habib now has 16 with that basket. And it's 54-29. George Mason has decided to squeeze the Flyers with some backcourt pressure that is definitely bothering them as Niall Lear is in the front court. Drives all the way in. Great move. She scores. First basket of the game for the Criminal Justice Junior Major. 54-31, Mason leads. 3:40 to go third quarter. Walton still hasn't scored, which is amazing. They miss a shot with Habib. And we're going to stay right here. And I think they have Molly O'Riordan on the foul. Maybe not. Nope. It is Shannon Wheeler. That's her second foul. It's Dayton's second foul of the period. And Suarez will throw it in. Maybe. Yep, she's able to beat the wrap. And Brown has it. And now they have to adjust the shot clock. And it went nowhere when the ball was inbounded. It was stuck on 20. Maybe the timekeeper is taking a mental break. I could probably use that. So they adjust the shot clock to 16. Suarez will throw it in front of us. Does so. So close, almost able to read the tattoo on her left arm, but wasn't able to do that. 5 seconds to shoot. Suarez hands it off to Brown, and she traveled. One of the rare disjointed offensive possessions from the Patriots today. At the end of the third quarter, I will preview the next Flyer game. I think we kind of want to flush this one from our memories.
Yeah, we can forget about this one.
Well, don't leave us, but as soon as it's over, we'll forget about it. Molly O'Riordan, 3, missed it from the right side.
And Flyers, really, other than Nicole Stevens, have just not been able to get anything going from the
This reminds me of the Miami of Ohio game, when they just kind of came down and just shot it up, not getting assists, not working the ball around.
Not trying to run any real plays, it seems like, just trying to make something happen.
You're not going to get a 22-point shot. It's not invented. Nobody has done that. And this Dayton foul will finally put Walton at the line to score where she's at 75% on the year.
And they've done a great job, the Patriots have, defensively controlling Ivy Wolf throughout this entire game. I mean, she's been held to 3 points, one of seven from the field. So,
and that free throw for Walton puts her in the scoring column. She was the conference's rookie of the year last year and made the conference all 13. She won 6 rookie of the weeks last year. She averaged 11 points a game. She's a criminology law major. She hits her next free throw, so it's 56-31. And Nicole Stevens is in the front court. Ivy to Nia Lear on the left elbow. And driving is Ivy Wolf in the lane. Pass for Shannon Wheeler. Wheeler on Massenburg gets cleanly blocked out of bounds by Massenburg. And Dayton will have 11 to shoot. Or no, they're going to give the ball over to George Mason. So George Mason will have 30 seconds to shoot as Ariana Smith is back in for Shannon Wheeler. Again, we are celebrating Black History Month game today. Many of the people are wearing shirts that say something about that, though I can't read it. And unfortunately, the special Black History Month game is not really turned into much of a game today after the first quarter when George Mason led this by 4. And they have Massenburg inside, missed the shot on O'Riordan, and everybody's tipping the ball around, and Molly finally comes down with it to Nicole Stevens.
Ivy a little slow to get up after that one, but she looks fine now.
And ball's knocked out of bounds. So Dayton will get some time off. You heard on the pregame Tamika saying a lot of the players are run down physically, which you can expect at this time of the year. So they'll probably back off on the practices a little bit and get at it sometime next week before they travel to Rhode Island. And that is a Dayton turnover, and we look, that is Dayton's turnover number 12. Now, considering they had 8 in the first period alone, that's not a bad stat. George Mason, 43% from the field. Dayton is 30% from the field. George Mason is 6 of 6 of the line. Dayton's 3 of 7. George Mason leads the rebounds by 7 and the defensive rebounds by 6. And they lead points in the paint by 4. In the game, 56-31. And Walton up over Smith. Can't get the bank shot to go. And it's out of bounds. Ivy Wolf thinks Dayton has it, but... and Dayton does have it. So Molly O'Riordan is going to throw it in, and George Mason again is going to pressure. And Nia Lear breaks it quickly up to Ivy Wolf. thinks about the three, but instead sees a wide open Ariana Smith, and the pass was late for her. It was telegraphed, and it's intercepted on turnover number 13, and Walton traveled the other way, so both teams are trading turnovers. And that is turnover number 9 for a Mason team that averages 11 on the season. So they have been a little bit sloppy today. But how can you complain when you're up 56-31?
Yeah.
You can't.
Especially without one of your best players. I mean, that's why I think it's so great that Suarez has come up so big for them.
Not just Suarez, but Habib, Kasia as well. All three of those athletes, double-digit scoring today. Again, Suarez has a career high with 25. Suarez. I was right. So the ball was knocked out of bounds. Dayton will have 10 seconds to shoot, and McNeil is going to come back in along with Mitchell. And who's going to leave? Well, Suarez. This is about the only thing that will stop her. She'll sit down. She and Habib will go to the bench. 1:17 to go in the third period. Dayton has been outscored by 7 this period. They're outscored by 4 in the first, by 14 in the second. Stevens' drive splits the defenders, can't hit the shot. And Ariana Smith was fouled, but it'll be team foul number 4 on George Mason, resulting in no free throws. And Brown got the foul, and that's her second. Stevens to throw it in, 1:11 to go in the period. Like a Washington Wizards announcer today. I make that reference because I think they're 6-36,
yes.
And they just lost to the Lakers by 38 at home. There's a bank shot, 3 for Mario Reardon. Her bank is open. And, you know, you could just imagine what the Washington Wizards, how do you make those games entertaining?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like probably the most entertaining part about them is going to be their opponent. You know, when you play the Lakers, you've got so many. LeBron, Anthony Davis.
Even though Davis didn't even play in that blowout earlier this week. Massenburg inside missed the shot from point blank range, and it's out of bounds off of Walton. So Dayton will have 38 seconds left in this period. And Brown is going to sit down, and they're going to bring in another new entry, and that is Paige Greenberg, a 5'9 junior from the Merritt School out of Washington, D.C. She only got in 6 games last year before injury ended her season. Previously played in 19 games at Brown at that D.C. high school, as there is a miss for Dayton. She had 1,106 career points. Nyla Lear gets the offensive rebound off the missed shot, scores, and will go to the line where she's at 62% on the season. And the foul's on McNeil. And Dawkins comes back in for Dayton, and Ivy Wolf will sit down. So again, Paige Greenberg is in the lineup for the first time today. So Nia Lear at the line. 21 seconds in the period. It's good. And Nia has 5, and it's 56-37. Dayton down 19. And Greenberg with the basketball. She in traffic. Ball's out to, well, now Nia Lear on the overplay. And that is Nia's second. 4th team foul, so no free throws to be shot here. 9.5 seconds left. 19 for George Mason this period. 18 for Dayton. And it is McNeil. Nia Lear knocks it away, and that will end the third period. George Mason wins the period 19-18. And they're winning the game 56-37. We will return.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring University of Dayton women's basketball to you today. It's because of businesses like these that we're able to broadcast these basketball games. Whenever you're in one of these establishments, please mention you heard about their support of UD women's basketball on radio. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Arrow Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions,
Solutions, Demnica's Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home and Medical Supply, Ghost Light Coffee, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen, Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-In Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotorer Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding, and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
All right, UD men, what a win last night. Great win at St. Louis. Got up big in the first half. St. Louis got within two, but were able to win the game by eight. Dayton men, 15th win of the season. And they will play next home Tuesday against Davidson at 7 o'clock. I don't know what the TV is. I didn't look that up. Do we have an attendance for today? We sure do. 2040. All right. Let's see here. George Mason, I already mentioned Wednesday. They'll play 7 o'clock home to VCU. And they have a real interesting last two games of the year. At St. Joseph's, so that is a game between two of the top three teams in the conference. And then home to Duquesne will be the end of their regular season. When Vanderbilt was here, of course, they beat the Flyers, and they have an excellent team. Michaela Blake's one heck of a player. She had 16 that night. Why do I bring that up? Because earlier this week, she had an SEC record 53-point game.
Wow.
16 of 24 from the field, 16 of 18 from the line. She was 1 point short of Elena Deladon's freshman scoring record, freshman, mind you, scoring record of 54 points. So that's some of the stuff going on. We're ready to get underway with this fourth quarter. We have Tanika Lightbourne in the first time game, along with Smith, Lear, Molly O'Riordan is getting a lot of playing time today. Molly O'Riordan has played 12 minutes. And here is a three-pointer good for Habib. Habib, 19 points today. I'm going to have to look up and see if she is gearing for a career high. Do that and watch this game at the same time. And Dayton has the ball inside, and Nia Lear scores in the lane. That gives her seven. Habib, 20 points against George Washington last December. Walton missed the shot. She says, well, everybody else can just have career highs. I'll just play possum, which is what she has done. And driving is Lightbourne, and there is a George Mason foul. Danica. And Suarez picked up her second foul. Does Danica go to the line? Where she is 3 of 5 this year? Apparently not. Dayton will inbound it. 59-39. 20-point lead. It was 18 at the half. Molly O'Riordan, she doesn't shoot another three. Instead, there's a bad pass. It's intercepted by Suarez. Up court, Walton, first basket of the game for her. Gives her 4 points. 61-39. Again, if you're just joining us, Olivia Leung injured, crutches, ankle. Hopefully she'll be back soon. Turnover, bad pass, Walton basket, 6 points for her. 63-39. This reminds me of some of those beatdowns we had to experience last year. And it's been a good season overall, 13-9 when this game ends. But yet a disappointing today game. Nia Lear driving and traveling. Concern coming in, Harris, their leading scorer at 15.4, isn't playing because she injured her ankle or something against the Billikens. And then you hold Walton to 6 points today and basically nothing in the first half, and you're still getting crushed. But this Mason team is one of the best in the conference, and they're a possible NCAA tournament team also, depending on what happens in the A-10 tournament. Got to say, between the big three, that'll be fun to see who can come out of that. 63-39, Mason leads it with the ball. Post up for Kasia. She missed the shot. but the 63% free throw shooter will go to the line. And Molly O'Riordan has picked up her third foul. Second foul. So Kasia at the line, A-10 all-rookie team in 2022-23, 9 points a game. Only in five games last year is the free throw as good. And this is something interesting about her. Well, her mom, first of all, played basketball at Duke, but she transferred from Charlotte. Not sure that's interesting, and free throw is good. So Kasia has 12. But at Charlotte, she didn't play basketball. She played volleyball there, which is really unusual. She made a good transition to basketball. But in high school in Washington, D.C., as the ball's into Ariana Smith, she scores. She's got 15. Lear with the good assist. Kasia had 1,035 points and 1,335 rebounds in high school. But she took it to volleyball at Charlotte and then resumed basketball at George Mason. Now Kasia, right on cue, talking about her, missed the shot inside. Ariana Smith with the rebound. She has 10 rebounds, 15 points. 10-foot runner in the lane is good for Nicole Stevens, giving her 12 points, making it 65-43, 7:35 to go. This might be our quickest game of the year.
Yeah.
And Suarez calls out the play, guarded by Lear. One foul apiece, 3 minutes into the final period. Kasia kicks it out. They shoot a three, bang, for Walton. 10 threes for the Patriots today, who come in at 37% as a team. They're up by 25. And today, their three-point shooting is at 40% after a slow start. Danica Lightbourne drives on Suarez, gets the inside angle, and puts it in. First points of the day for Danica Lightbourne. 68-45. I don't think we're going to see defensive intensity the rest of this game. Walton says, I want my points now. And she might get them as she is fouled in the act of shooting, driving to the basket by Ariana Smith. So again, Habib with 19, 1 point off of her career high of 20. Suarez has a career high today with, well, they have her for 23. I have her for 25, so I goofed up somewhere. So actually, she is 1 point away from her career high. So if she gets it, it would be the third time I would announce it. And maybe the third time would be right as the free throw dribbles in for Walton, giving her 10 points. Let's see where it went wrong. Gave her one too many twos in there somehow. Walton hits on the next free throw. 70-45. Dayton's having an off day. I guess I'm having an off day too. At least when it keeps track of modern math.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, I need a tutor.
Happens to the best of us.
Even the worst of us, like me. So the ball's inbounded to Ariana Smith. She muscles inside and travels. And Volker, the 6'1 sophomore, comes back in for George Mason with Mitchell. Mitchell's really taken a back seat. She started all 31 games last year. She comes off the bench now. She's a psychology major. Volker, transfer from Missouri State in 31 games last year. Shot 43 of 86, 50% from the field. That's impressive. She's majoring in journalism. I just talked about her. She just connected inside for her first points. She scored 1,507 points at her high school in Virginia. So though this team will lose, well, they won't lose their top two players, but they have a lot of talent coming back as Lightbourne drives and can't get it. Ariana Smith, 11th rebound, puts it in. Ariana Smith has 17 points. Suarez, I don't know if she has a fifth year of eligibility. She's a senior as Mitchell is fouled by Stevens, and she will go to the line, and she was in the act of shooting. Habib, McNeil, Kasia, they all are grad students, though they definitely will not be back. Mitchell at the line, 70% on the year. 72-47, Mitchell connects on the free throw. We have 5:39 to play. And for Oliver, the highlight of today is coming up the media timeout. Mitchell's next free throw is good. And now a substitution. And it's going to be Greenberg back in for Massenburg. So one Berg replaces another Berg in the George Mason lineup. Dayton has Stevens, Harris, Lightbourne, Smith, and Wolf. And Nicole Stevens turns it over. Actually, it came to Ariana Smith. 15 to shoot. Ivy will drive the lane. Pass is kicked by Suarez. So Dayton had 13 on the shot. It's reset to 20 at the 5:22 mark. We will hear coaches' comments with Tamika Williams-Jetter after the game. Obviously, we won't be talking to a player. And Olivia Leung is looking dejected on the bench in crutches. And Ricky Harris goes up for the shot. She's fouled. She'll shoot a couple here. And Walton has just picked up a foul, her second. And McNeil is coming back in for Suarez. Harris at the line. 73% free throw shooter. Stuck on 2 points today. One of seven from the field. Does have three rebounds and three assists. And Ricky connects on the free throw. 5 of 10 at the line for Dayton. 12 of 12. Can't do much better than that for George Mason. Ricky missed the free throw. 74-48, 5:10 to go. We alert the local stations down the line that we will take our final media timeout. At least we hope it's our final media timeout at the next dead ball. As Ivy Wolf almost got a steal from Mitchell. But Mitchell behind the back pass. That was cute to Greenberg. And George Mason will set it up here with McNeil. 5 to shoot. McNeil drives. McNeil in the lane. Great defense. It's slapped away by Stevens. It would have been a shot clock violation anyway. But Dayton has the basketball with Lightbourne. Bad pass intended for Smith out of bounds. And that'll get us to our media timeout. 74-48. It's all Mason all the time. They're going to go to 19-3. And we have 4:40 to go. You can hear it in the background. So we will break while we do YMCA. Well, I'm not doing YMCA, but YMCA is coming up after this.
Information Radio 1660 would like to thank the following businesses for helping us bring University of Dayton women's basketball to you today. It is because of businesses like these that we are able to broadcast these basketball games. Whenever you're in one of these establishments, please mention you heard about their support of UD women's basketball on radio. This year's underwriters are Archer's Tavern, Aero Wine and Spirits, Bob Ross Auto Group, Butler Heating and Air Conditioning, Coin Dentistry, Dayton Art Solutions, Demnikas Italiano Restaurant, DNA Computers, El Rancho Grande, Fat Boys Dayton, Get Active Home and Medical Supply, Ghost Light Coffee, Hothead Burritos, House of 10,000 Picture Frames, Kettering Dairy Queen Orange Julius, Kettering Overhead Door, Los Reyes Mexican Restaurant, Miami Valley Premier Walk-in Tubs and Showers, Mo Harrigan's Irish American Tavern, Ohio Painting Service, Roberson Law, Rotor Shoe Center, Scott Bauer Roofing, Siding and Home Improvement, Signorama, The Flower Shop, and USA Tire and Auto Service Center.
All right, we may as well talk about Rhode Island. UD leads the all-time series 19-3, but last year they lost in the A-10 tournament to Rhode Island 70-57. It was actually a competitive game, considering they had lost the season finale at home to Rhode Island 77-42. Similar game like today. Rhode Island is playing Richmond tomorrow. Good luck. They are 11-11. They have a common opponent in Providence. Rhode Island lost 48-45, while the Flyers defeated Providence. Tammy Reese is in her sixth year. In conference, they've beaten St. Louis by 20, St. Bonaventure by 34, VCU by 14, UMass by 2, Loyola by 18. They've lost to Davidson by 10, George Mason only by 6, Duquesne by 13. Last game was a 53-35 pounding of Fordham, a game in which they led 31-15 at half. They are plus 11 on rebounds this season, which is impressive, but they commit more turnovers a game than Dayton, 21. Sophia Vital leads them with 15 points a game. They have taken 135 more threes than their opponents. And what else can I tell you about them? Honey Carr averages. Okay, so Sophia Vitale had 15 points in the Fordham game. They out-rebounded Fordham by 11 in that game. Correction. They out-rebound their opponents on the season by 8. They average 13.5 assists to 14 turnovers. That's pretty even. Again, Honey Carr's their leading scorer, about 13 a game. Phillips is the only other double-digit performer in double figures. She averages 10.5. Vitale has 91 assists to 39 turnovers. That's excellent. And Du Bois, 72 assists to 39 turnovers. So Rhode Island values the basketball very well. They have 6 players, but this is an interesting rundown of their team. They only have 4 players from the U.S. They have 1 from Canada, 6 from France, 2 from Finland, and 1 from India. So a heavy international flavor for the Rhode Island Rams. That's Dayton's next opponent next Saturday at 1 o'clock. And Nicole Steeman has just picked up her 2nd foul. 4th team foul. George Mason has 2. So we have 4:26 to go in a game that has not been in doubt since the latter stages of the 2nd quarter. Mitchell hands it off to McNeil. McNeil on the dribble. Shantavia Dawkins come back in for Dayton in a moment. Getting a little close as Lightbourne, she picks up her 1st foul. And that's going to put McNeil at the free throw line. She is 5 of 8 on the season. Nicole Stevens leaves probably for the last time today. Solid game for her. Her line is 10 points. Actually, they say 12 points. Yes, 12 points, 5 of 10 from the field. And McNeil connects on the free throw. McNeil transferred out of Stetson. She averaged 9 points a game in 3 years there. She also played briefly for 1 year at Syracuse. And the free throw is good again. So now 14 of 14 at the line for the Patriots. 76-48 is the score. Lightbourne drives underneath Grant in the lineup, and she cannot connect on the shot. And the rebound comes down into Volker's hands. Pass up court. Mitchell, she will go 1-on-2. Spins in the lane and traveled. Not a good idea for her. 3:53 to go. 76-48. Ricky Harris, front court. Using the screen. Ariana Smith actually falls down. And she is trying to get back up, but she shades her head because she does not want to get kicked. Dawkins in traffic missed the shot. Grant battles for it. Smith battles for it, but it comes up to Greenberg, and she is tripped by Ariana Smith, who might have gotten knocked down for a moment, but she's back up. But Greenberg going to go all the way to the other end. She's going to go to the line. And let me try to tell you something about Greenberg. I normally have little pieces of information about all these players, but did I have anything on Greenberg? Nope. I do now. The free throw line this year, that one is good. She is 7 of 8. She averages about 3 points a game. She has 2 free throws there. She played in 6 games before she was sidelined for the rest of the year last year. I think I did give that information. Yeah, I did give that information. So I don't need to repeat myself. She gets her 2 free throws at 78-48. It's now a 30-point lead with 3:15 to go. And Grant inside. Ifiala back in the lineup. Good catch, but she's on the end line. So look at some of these numbers. George Mason shooting at 43%. It's exactly what they shoot from two-point land this year. They are 38% from 3. That's exactly on their average. Dayton at 36% from the field, 23% from the three-point stripe. Free throws, again, George Mason is 16 of 16. Dayton is only 5 of 10. 19 Dayton turnovers. They're on their average. George Mason has 11. They're on their average. They had 5 in the first period. Points off turnovers, George Mason 23-9. George Mason leads the rebounds by 5. Offensive rebounds are even. Second chance points are George Mason by 3. Bench points are Dayton by 3. Points in the paint are even. George Mason has 11-2 fast break. Actually, you can make it 13-2 because Volker just scored and she has 4 points. George Mason 7 blocks to 2 for Dayton. George Mason 9 steals to 4 for Dayton. And George Mason 15 assists to 10 for Dayton. And we have a foul on Mitchell. That's her third. We've been tied for 11 seconds, and we've had 2 lead changes in this game. That about tells you everything you need to know. Actually, you know, I really do get into numbers heavily in terms of basketball because I think it's very reflective of how the game is going to go. All the numbers pregame that I studied are basically, they've basically come to fruition, which is why you have an 80-48 George Mason lead. As light borne out to Dawkins. And now it's Ricky Harris. The 3 right side. Got it. Hits for 3 of the afternoon. Harris has 6 points. Dayton ends a 2.5-minute scoring drought. They trail the game by 29. 2:21 to go. Volker missed a 3. Actually, that was Greenberg missing a 3. Mitchell in a crowd is able to put it back in. So Nakou Mitchell has 4 points. 82-51. Well, we'll hope for better things in 10 days when we're here for the education game on Wednesday afternoon, or actually Wednesday morning, February 12th, against Davidson at 11 a.m. Eve Fiala takes a couple of dribbles, hands it off to Lightbourne. She will drive. Can't believe she wasn't fouled. Now they're going to call her for the charge. Doesn't really matter. Her second foul. More substitutions for George Mason. Faith Acori, 6-foot sophomore, Example Academy out of Chicago, Illinois, is in the lineup. She's wearing a very heavy knee brace on her right foot. They've also brought in Massenburg is out. Volker is out. I want to give credit to somebody else in the lineup. I think they have brought McNeil back in as well. Out there with Mitchell. Ah, they have brought in Lierre Nix. She is a 6'2 freshman, Wiley East High School out of Des Moines, Iowa. So those are the players in there for the last minute and a half for George Mason. And McNeil is on her dribble, goes up and can't get it, but gets the rebound. McNeil scores, and she has 4 points. And Jada Johnson, be a future halftime guest from Connecticut. She's back in the lineup for Dayton after sitting for a long period of time. 84-51. And it's Lightbourne on the dribble, almost traveled, guarded closely by Greenberg. Now Jada Johnson outside the 3-point stripe, 8 to shoot, 1 minute to go, 84-51, George Mason, Dayton throws it away. And Greenberg quickly up court to Mitchell. Mitchell will come down 1-on-2 and travel. Now that is going to be for George Mason, turnover number 12. Now they're above their seasonal average. Well, again, for George Mason, best of luck in their next game against a very inconsistent VCU team, a team that has been blown out on many occasions, but a team that also defeated St. Joseph's earlier this year. We'll hope Harris is in good health for that one Wednesday. We'll also hope that the Flyers maybe can get Olivia Leung back in their game at Rhode Island next Saturday. Wide open lane, basket Dawkins, a little Matador defense, Olay action. 84-53, Dayton now down 31 with 30 seconds to go, and Grant prolongs the agony by committing her first foul, which will put Greenberg at the free throw line. 35 seconds left in a game which is barely an hour and 45 minutes old, and we're going to get Eleanor Maniak, our walk-on favorite, coming into the game, and maybe they'll set up a play for her to score as Greenberg hits the free throw and giving her 3 points. 85-53. Dayton's been outscored 28-16 this period. Make it 29-16 as it's 86-53, and Eleanor Maniak is in for Dawkins. So Lightbourne front court on the dribble. Maniak is set up in the front of the Dayton bench, but she won't get a chance here. They throw it away, and that probably will finish it off. Mason will probably just run it out, even though Grant challenges McNeil in the front court. No reason to foul. McNeil's just going to dribble it. Mason improves to 19-3. Dayton falls to 13-9. After Grant does steal the ball, and McNeil fouled her. McNeil says, oh, what are you doing here? Well, that'll give Grant a chance at the free throw line where she is. Oh, only four fouls. So no free throws. Maybe they can set up Eleanor Moniak for the shot with 6 seconds to go. Then again, they're looking for Fiala, and then you're not even going to get a shot off. The game is over. 86-53. And we see Olivia Leung holding that right leg in the air as she is in the receiving line, getting some encouragement from Ivy Wolf, but on crutches, and we'll just see what her status is the rest of the season. All right, post-game after this.
It's the Archers Tavern post-game program with Barney Sintner and Dennis Shaw. Now let's head back to the arena to get the wrap-up on today's game.
Okay, well, I guess you could say this one was over early. Not before it started, but it was over early. George Mason blitzed out to an 11-3 lead. They had 5 quick points from Suarez. Habib also contributed 5 quick points early. To Dayton's credit, they got within 16-12 the end of the first period, despite committing 8 turnovers in that first period. Olivia Leung gets injured. She hurts her right ankle. She's on crutches. She is, her status, we don't know. We won't know. Dayton doesn't play for a week. Dayton ends the second period missing 13 of their last 14 field goal attempts. And Dayton has outscored 21-7 in the second period. And they're trailing 37-19 at the half. They hold Walton to no points in the first half, to their credit. They're outscored 19-18 in the third period. They're outscored 29-16 in the fourth, and they lose the game 86-53. The team numbers, George Mason winds up shooting 45% from the field. Dayton shoots 38% from the field. Despite that, missing 13 out of 14 shots at one point. From the three-point stripe, George Mason is 37%. George Mason shoots 27 threes on the game. 10 of 27 in the game from the three. Dayton shoots 29%, 4 of 14. From the free throw line, George Mason, you can't do it any better. 18 of 18, 100%. Dayton is 5 of 10. Turnovers, the Flyers commit 22. George Mason commits 13. Points off turnovers, George Mason 27, Dayton 11. George Mason wins the rebounds 40-33. They win the defensive rebounds 25-20. They win the offensive rebounds 15-13. They win the second chance points 22-15. They outscore Dayton's bench 18-15. 34-30, they win the points in the paint. Dayton is held to 2 fast break points to 11 for George Mason. George Mason wins the blocks 7-2. They win the steals 11-5. They win the assists 15-11. And that's all you need to know. All right, Dayton's individual numbers. Ariana Smith again, solid. What can you say? 8 of 10 from the field, 17 points, 12 rebounds, and 27 minutes of action. Nicole Stevens, solid. 33 minutes of action, 12 points, 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 3 from the three-point stripe. From there, Niall Lear, solid, 17 minutes, gave you 7 points. Rick Harris had 6 points. Ivy Wolf only had 3 points, season low in 29 minutes, 1 of 7 from the field. Jada Johnson didn't score in 8 minutes. Danica Lightborn, 2. Dawkins, 2. Olivia Leung, we already said, got hurt. Shanna Wheeler, 1 point in 13 minutes. Grant didn't score. Molly O'Riordan got a 3-pointer in 17 minutes. Leonard Moniak didn't score in less than a minute. And Eve Fiala didn't score in 8 minutes of action. For George Mason, even without Harris, they persevere. Turns out Suarez misses a career high by 1 point. She got 23, 9 of 12 from the field, 5 of 7 from the three-point stripe. Habib misses a career high by 1. She gets 19, 6 of 12 from the field to go along with 8 rebounds in 30 minutes of action. Kasia had a very impressive 12-point performance in 23 minutes. She also had 9 rebounds. Walton didn't score in the first half. She had 11 in the second half. Most of the points when didn't matter. Brown had 3, Massenburg didn't score, Mitchell had 4, Volker had 6, Corey didn't score, McNeil had 4, Nix didn't score, Greenberg had 4, and that totals up to 86 points. And rough game as the coach joins us now. You know, if I had told you before the game, Harris isn't going to play, Walton's going to get 11, and they're all going to be in the second half, Walton will be held scoreless at the half, you'd feel pretty good about that. But, boy, Suarez and Habib especially and Kasia really all stepped up.
Well, I put her number on the board before the game started because these kids have played in postseason. And you got to think, this is a George Mason team that last year, it was a bad call. They did have the recall, but it was too late. It should have been an A-10 championship game. And so I knew Suarez was going to come out swinging. I didn't know who else. I didn't expect that from their post play because she really doesn't look the ball, but they wanted to pound it in, and I'm sure to get Nani in foul trouble to get her out. But we just came out lackluster. And I told my team at halftime, and I told them yesterday, we didn't have the best practices leading up to this particular game. Very, you know, sluggish, very bound down to being tired or, you know, sore. Everybody's sore and tired, you know, and you got to push through. And so I think the lesson is for my team is, like, you got to push through. And you got to bring your A game against a team like this who made 10 threes, got to the free throw line, out-rebounded us by a very significant number, which most of the time doesn't happen, and shot the lights out here and came ready to play. And when best, you know, players go down, just like when Ivy didn't score, you know, she scored like two, other people will step up. And I think tonight George Mason did a great job of that.
I didn't feel bad after the first quarter. You're down four, and you had eight turnovers in the first quarter. So I was optimistic. And then, of course, right after that, Olivia got hurt.
Yes.
We don't know her status. Fortunately, you have a week, but we hope it's nothing serious and she's not out for the year.
Yeah. I mean, she lands like that quite often. So I didn't even notice she was down until they scored and the refs blew the whistle. And she's a tough kid, so she's got to be hurt. Even Ivy went down a little bit. We almost didn't put her in. Looked like she might have rolled her ankle a little bit. So we need this bye week. But the last bye week I had time off was after that Miami game. So the last thing they want to do is go into a bye week with me after a loss. Now, one thing I guarantee is we're going to come back a better team and well-rested. I mean, I think we'll get a jock back, and I hope Liv is not too bad. I mean, it looks like a, you know, lower leg injury. I'm not sure. I haven't got anything, but we need those two kids because they give us a spark off the bench. And we got Rhode Island. This league doesn't let down. It only gets tougher.
So with that, the schedule, I imagine off tomorrow.
Yes.
And then what is the, I mean, do you go in normal hard practices Monday through Thursday before you travel to Rhode Island Friday?
Well, we got some kids pretty beat up, you know, like Nicole's played a lot of minutes. So our high, you know, Ivy Wolf and Ricky, Nani, we'll probably give them 2 days off and then get the other kids in here for some workouts Monday. Practice Tuesday, off Wednesday, practice Thursday, Friday, off and play.
I was happy. Now, you did this. I don't know if it's out of necessity or strategy. I was happy to see Molly get 17 minutes of play today. I mean, she scored a three-pointer, but she needs some playing time.
Yes.
And you were able to do that by design?
Yes. I mean, she's been going in, you know, pretty good for us the last couple games. I feel like most of the time at the five, we had to play her the four just to go bigger to get some rebounding, which usually other teams are making adjustments. And when we, I think the last two or three games we played, they put in different starting lineups just to adjust to our rebounding and the way we come out. So I think Molly has to play more. She, like I said, I'm not going to change. This kid comes in the gym every day, 30 extra minutes of workout every single day. She never misses a day, and Liv is another one of our young kids. And Cam, they get in the gym. So I'm never upset at their production, but I would like to play her more at the five than the four.
How do you feel about her shooting the threes?
I'm fine with it. That's what she did in high school and in AU. That's kind of what she was known for. And she was a high 30% three-point shooter. I think they'll start to go down, and we need someone because they're playing off of Shannon. They're playing off of Jada. It's hard when you're running offense and, you know, they can pack the paint on Nani. We have to really generate a lot just for Nani to get one-on-one touches because they leave our fours. So that's someone that they respect just because she will shoot it, that they guard her defender, so we get some clean high-lows with her. We lose a little bit defensively. We have to put Nani on the four. She guards the five. So I hope that she continues to emerge.
Let's end this on a good note. 17 points, 12 rebounds for Nani, Ariana Smith. She has not won an A-10, and I don't know if she cares about this. I do. Every week when I see somebody winning that award, and it's not her with her double-doubles, she is having a phenomenal year for
she
you.
Is. I mean, very consistent. It's something that she talks about wanting to be. And I think she's displayed that thus far this year. And I told her, like, hey, now we get into those good games, the real games. You know, George Mason, if you can put a double-double up against them, you're really good. You go to Rhode Island with their bigs, you put up a double-double against them, you're really good. St. Joe's, Davison, you know, those are the heavier experienced teams in our conference and the better teams. And so if she continues to do that, it's great for us. But we just got to get her a little help with stretching out the defense a little bit more.
I know you're going to be watching A-10 basketball the rest of the weekend, especially tomorrow, Rhode Island.
Yes.
What a test they have, Richmond.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Get some rest for me this week.
Thank
have a good
you.
Trip.
Okay, thanks.
All right, that ends it. We've gone through everything. Dayton loses this game 86-53. We will rejoin you on Wednesday morning, February 12th, 10:45, for the annual education game. And don't know if Dennis will be here or it'll be Oliver, but I'll be here and Norm will be here, and we'll have a broadcast. But we'll hopefully good things will happen for Dayton next week at Rhode Island. So again, in front of 2040 or something, Dayton loses today 86-53. For Norm, for Oliver, Barney Centner, good day from UD Arena.
You've been listening to Dayton Flyers women's basketball on Information Radio 1660. Thanks to Archer's Tavern for underwriting today's game. You can hear a replay of today's game and any other home game from this year's season by visiting our website at radio1660.com. That's radio1660.com.